Good morning and Happy New Year. You know, the older I get, I know you've heard this 100 times, the faster the years go, but boy, oh boy, look at the calendar now and you can't hardly believe where in the world have the years gone. I was thinking this week on this beautiful fall that we've had, and I guess you call it winter now, and I see the ice going out of the river. I was thinking maybe it'd be really, really unique and fun to have us a baptism. Any takers for the river? No. Okay. Well, I just thought it'd be really, really fun. And Casey, he's willing. I'm going to watch from the bank. No, but when I think of this year, you know, I was talking to Pastor Chuck Chafin after, between our services, and there's a lot of heaviness in America. There's plenty of it right here in our own community. You know, we've lost a lot of people. You look at the TV in the foyer, and you're reminded of the funerals that we have done here, not to mention the family members and friends that you have lost. And so there's been a lot of difficulty. But as Pastor Chuck and I agreed, but God is good. Amen? God is still good. And I know that a lot of you have been through some tough times this year. And as Casey had said, there's cancer and there's a lot of stuff that's heavy and a lot of stuff that hurts. But through the year, as we look back, I hope that you can say, thank you, Lord. You've been good to me again. Amen? Now, let me say this, too. I'm so, I was just so blessed last Sunday night by your, so many of you contributed to the Christmas Eve service. What a wonderful night of celebration. Thank you. Thank you for making that a reality. Thank you for the way that we worship the Lord on Christmas Eve. What a beautiful evening. I just want to say thank you. So many of you put into that, and I'm just so blessed by it. I also want to say thank you for your generosity to Sherry and I at this Christmas season. Your cards and your letters and your gifts and stuff, we're so thankful. So thank you so much for being so gracious to us. Communion is next week. That's not in the bulletin. And so I just want you to know that we will do communion next week and hope that you can join us. And of course, as Casey mentioned, a couple weeks from today already is going to be our annual meeting. So we'll have lunch together and just hope you can be part of all those things. Today is the eve of a new year. And as I've been reading the last few days, and both from the Bible and from current events, I've come to this conclusion today for a challenge, a scriptural challenge for us as the church. It seems like when you turn the calendar over, maybe it's an opportunity for a new beginning. I've talked to people this today, glad last year's behind us, hoping for a whole lot better year next year. And I've certainly talked to a bunch of people this week, the same feelings. But it gives us this sense that we change the calendar and perhaps something will be refreshed and new. And so I just want to encourage us today and challenge us a little bit with a couple of quotes from men of old and some scripture, of course, to go along with that. So here's how we're going to start. Kristen, that first quote, please. If you know anything about America's history and the colonial days, you know that people were arriving here in the early 1600s because there was some religious persecution in the old country and they wanted to escape from that. And well, anyway, there's a lot of history here, and I just saw this quote a couple of weeks ago, and I want to start here. John Winthrop, who was on one of those early boats, arrived here in this new nation. It wasn't the United States of America yet in the 1600s, but it was a place where they could worship, they hoped freely. And John Winthrop arrived here, and he said to those people, this was just a few years after the Mayflower and those earliest arrivals, and here's what he said. You can see it there, but let me read it. For we must consider, he's talking to Christians and Christians coming to this land and having a new start. He said, for we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us. Now, he's referring to those people in the old country that saw them get in the boat. They saw them leave. They come to this new land. A lot of them knew why. The eyes of all people are upon us. So that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall open the mouths of the enemies to speak evil of the ways of God. Therefore, he said, he challenged those people that have arrived here. Therefore, let us choose life that we and our seed may live by obeying his voice and cleaving to him, for he is our life and our prosperity, end quote. That's what John Winthrop longed for a new start for believers in this nation before we were the United States of America. When I read those words a couple of weeks ago, I'm reminded about the words of Jesus. You know these words from Matthew 5, 14, 15, and 16. Jesus said this to the people that would commit their lives to him, the Messiah. From all the way with the day when he sat there on the giving the Sermon on the Mount, all through the years, the millennial, to us, here's what he said. You are the light of the world. Kind of like what Winthrop said. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. That's what he's talking about, us. When we put our faith in Christ, men and women of God, we are to be that light, not covered up under the lampshade, but to be a light to those around us. And Jesus said, let your light shine. I know you've heard me say this 100 times in the last few years, but it's so important for us as we embark on a new journey, a new page on the calendar. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. In other words, how you respond. You're criticized, or you're beat down, or you're talked about. Let people see how you respond to that. Let them see the light of Jesus in you. And so those people that haven't come yet to the light will see the light of Jesus in you and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said. That's for us. You say, Jim, that's the Sermon on the Mount. That's for 2,000 years ago. That's for us who claim the name of Jesus. Amen? And I hope when we look at 2024, that's how we'll live. And then when I read the words of John Winthrop, and I read the words of Jesus, and I'm also reminded of the words of Joshua, and I know that you know these words, but I just put them all together because we're on the eve of a new year, and maybe new opportunities, and maybe a chance, or maybe just a recharging a recommitment, a rededication. I'm going to live for Jesus. And so the words of Joshua, Joshua 24, 15, 14 and 15. Joshua's getting old. Moses is long gone. They're in the promised land. Joshua's going to die. And he challenges the children of Israel. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. He says it again. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Chris is gone now. He's in class, I think. But that little quote he had from Chuck Colson in Prison Fellowship, that fits right here. We have arrived at where we have arrived at in America because somehow over the 400 years since John Winthrop said, let us consider that we shall be a city on a hill. Somehow since 2,000 years ago when Jesus said to the believers, you are the light of the world, something has happened to arrive at where Chris had read. And as we embark on this new year, I look at new opportunities and new hope. But I also am keenly aware that as a nation, we have got some serious trouble. And I know some of you are going to think, oh man, here we go again. Can't you think of something new to say? But when you look at the condition of our nation, financially, I'm not a financial guy, but I listen to these people that are, and our financial condition is not too good. And worse yet, spiritually and morally, we're in trouble in America. And so I read these scriptural quotes from Jesus and Joshua, and I read things like from John Winthrop. And I ask myself, and I would ask us to consider for a moment, have we lived according to what Winthrop longed for? When he said, for we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill, the eyes of all people are upon us. Have we lived like that? And I read the words of Jesus to people that said, yes, I'm a Christian, or yes, I'm going to follow Christ. Yes, I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. I read these words of Jesus and I ask ourselves, have we been the light to a dark and difficult nation and time? Have we been the light in spite of challenges and difficulties? And I've considered as I read these verses, and I'm reminded of what Joshua said, have we chosen wisely? We need to choose Jesus first and foremost, okay? You with me, friends? We need to choose Jesus first. But even when, as Joshua spoke to the children of Israel. They said, yes, we will serve the Lord. You still have to choose wisely every day. You still have to choose, am I going to step into and stay into the light? I'm not saying you got to be born again every day, but we still have to choose if we're going to make good choices, if we're going to follow Christ and the Word of God. And I asked myself, how did we get to where we got today in America if we were choosing wisely and we were light all this time? Joshua said, fear the Lord and serve Him. And all you got to do is read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles, and you know it didn't go good because they weren't serving the living God. I got to hurry up. I got way more material than I got time for. But during our survey, Casey mentioned that Brian Thorstedt, he's a church consultant that was here, worked with some of you. We did a survey. A lot of you filled it out. We're going to kind of put all that together in the next couple of weeks. But we also did a demographic of our community, where we live, within 20 miles around here. And in that demographic, it tells you a ton of things. It talks about the incomes. It talks about the ethnicity. It talks about church attendance. It talks about education. It talks about a ton of stuff. But what we glean from that, and the church board and Casey and I need this because we need to understand, we as a church need it, we need to understand what is our community made up of and who. And that demographic revealed in this community, 60-some percent no longer go to church or have any time for church things. That's in this community. That's not in the Northeast. It's not in the Northwest. That's right here. 60-some percent no longer have much time for the things of God and no longer are in church. That's our community. And I ask myself, as believers, and starts with Jim, how important is Jesus to us? That I don't have any time for Him. Am I light to those that I work around, that I live around, that I play around? Am I any light at all? Does my life reflect Jesus? How important is He to me? To you? To us? And I know people think I get overacting. But when I read headlines like I've read the last 2 weeks of the current condition in America, and I read what John Winthrop wrote, and I read what Jesus said, and what Joshua said, I'm thinking there's a disconnect someplace. In the last few days, I've read a lot of articles about where we're at in America today. I read the Bible every day, and so I'm reading what's happening now, and I'm reading what the Bible says. Let me just give you a couple headlines, and I'll cut through the chase. This headline was in the Christian Post not 10 days ago. Here's the headline. It said, "Wake up, America. Pornography is a new religion." Hello, are you hearing me? That got my attention. I don't like to hear that. And so within that article, it said this, and I quote, "The school board saw a sweep of far left-leaning candidates. Mr. Carl Frisch, an activist, was elected by a vote of 67%, LGBTQ activists at that. But he was elected nonetheless by 67% in his district. He ran on this, his list of actions for that school includes making sure transgender students can use the bathroom of their choice, enforcing use of preferred pronouns, and ensuring pornographic material is fully stocked on the shelves of the school library. That's what he ran on. And if that wasn't enough, 2 weeks ago Thursday, in an act of defiance against the Judeo-Christian moral grounding upon which our republic was conceived, Mr. Frisch chose to be sworn into the office of vice chair of the Fairfax County School Board on Thursday, December 14th, by placing his hand on a stack of pornography books. He's the vice chair of the Fairfax County Schools. And if you know anything about America's school districts, it's one of the largest ones in America. It's got over 13,000 teachers in one district. You say, Jim, so what? Why are you so hard on people? Why are you so critical? When John Winthrop came to America, he said, "For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill." And therefore, he said, "Let us choose that we choose life, that we and our seed may live by obeying his voice and cleaving to him, for he is our life and he is our prosperity." And we have arrived at this point. We're now placing our hands on a stack of pornography books to be sworn in to be the vice chair of a school district. In 1789, April 30th, George Washington, our first president, he was also sworn in. And when he was sworn in, he placed his hand on an open Bible. And when he was sworn in as President of the United States, he then kissed the Bible. It meant that much to him. And then he said this, next quote, Kristen, on the big screen, please. "It would be peculiar and proper to omit in this first official act my fervent supplication to that almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nation, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect." Washington continues, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States," end quote. That was our first president of the United States. That's how he acted and responded when he was sworn in. And now we have headlines like, "Wake up, America, because pornography is the new religion." And I ask myself, how did we get here? No, America isn't perfect. We've got plenty of problems. We've had plenty of problems. But how do we get to this point? How do we get to this point where 67% are in line with or at least voting for someone that said, "My goal is to fully stock the shelves of school libraries with pornographic materials"? How do we get there? Over the course of the last week, and I know I don't have time to mention much, but over the course of the last 2 weeks, I've read a lot of articles. I'm just going to give you a couple of those headlines. They're so troubling to me. It just hurts. One of them is, and you can read about them, they're on Christian Post. It's not very encouraging, but you can read about them. One of the headlines says, "California toy stores without gender-neutral sections could face fines under the new law. In other words, they have a law already in California. You got the little Barbies and little things over here for the little girls. You got the little tractors and the little cows and such over here for little boys. But if you don't have a gender-neutral section under their new law in California, you can now face fines. Or this headline that says, Pornhub, parent company pushes gay and trans porn that can help kids find their way. Are you hearing me this morning? How'd we get here? I read this article, the headline is enough, but I read this article 2 days ago. Hundreds pray, that's good, but what are they praying? Hundreds pray against Christmas-themed drag show. 36 major cities from California to North Carolina hosted a major production Christmas-themed drag show. I thought Christmas was about Jesus. Are you hearing me? I thought Christmas was about Jesus. It would be easy to throw up our hands and say, nothing I can do. It would be easy to be discouraged to the point of, why bother? That's why I challenge us. Will we be the light in this kind of atmosphere in 2024? For the people you work with or live around? Or I live around? Will we be the light that offers hope to somebody that's lost their way in the darkness? Will we choose to follow the living God and His Word in 2024? Or will we allow the gods of this age to peck away at us and to erode our very foundations till we come to this point of, yeah, I'm voting for that too. I'm fine with that, filling my children's school library shelves with pornography. Will we choose God and His ways, or will we let the gods of the age manipulate our mind and move us away from the holy heavenly God to a place that we don't even recognize ourselves anymore? I don't have to remind us of the stories of Joshua and Judges, and as I mentioned already, Chronicles and Samuel and the Kings, and how the gods of the age peck away at that foundation. And pretty quick, God has got no choice but to render judgment. The foreign gods in America are pecking away at our foundation, friends. They're squeezing out the one true living Jehovah God. We don't have time for Him. Our community doesn't have time for Him. 6.5 in 10 people in our community don't have time for Him. The gods of this age are squeezing out Jesus, squeezing Him out of Christmas, squeezing Him out of our lives, squeezing the truth of Scriptures out of the church in America. And so I challenge us with this. Is Jesus important enough to you, to me, that I will let my light shine in this world no matter what it throws at us? Is Jesus important to me at all? Does anybody even know I'm a follower of Jesus? Does my light ever shine to my neighbors? Because Jesus said, you're the light of the world. He's not talking about denomination. He's talking about people that said, I'm going to follow Jesus. He said, you're the light of the world. You can't hide that light. If you're really filled with the Son of God and allowed the Spirit of God to take up residence in us, you don't need a pat on the back. Your light will reflect who you are. Jesus said, that's how I expect you to live. Will we do that? Or we just continue to go with the flow that's sweeping America into the farthest reaches of what we should have been in Christ in the beginning? Only you can answer, how can you be the light? Only Jim can. How can I be the light for Jesus right here, right now? You don't have to be a pastor to be the light for Jesus. You don't have to be a pastor to choose wisely, I'm going to follow him. I'm not going to let these gods of this age influence me. I know they've influenced the world something fierce. I know they've influenced my family. I know they've influenced my coworkers and my friends, but I'm not going to let them influence me. That's why Joshua said, you have got to choose, people of God, because the enemy is going to throw stuff out there at you. And it'll pick away at your foundation. And pretty quick that foundation just crumbles. And we're arriving at where we have arrived at in these headlines. What will we be for Jesus in 2024? We're just going to live for ourselves? Are we going to be light in a dark time, in a dark place for Christ? I just want to say this to wrap up. I got a lot more I could say, but I've said enough. But first and foremost, you have to really decide, friends, about Jesus. Now, I don't mean, well, Jim, I believe in God. That kind of decision, because that's important, but you've got to go beyond that. And I've had this conversation with people the last 2 weeks, all kinds of people. I praise God for these opportunities, but people that have been caught up in demon possession, people that have been caught up in sexual confusion, people that have been caught up in all kinds of sin and difficulties, and I've told them all the same thing. What will you do with Jesus? Well, I believe in God, Jim, some of them say. But what will you do with Jesus? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he told us, anyone, everyone who will choose him, he said, you're the light. And so I'm offering people the light. You don't have to be a pastor to do that. You can just be a friend to your coworker. But I'm asking us in the church for 2024, how can we be the light of Jesus? Not everybody's going to subscribe to it. He gives us the choice after all. You had a choice to come to church today or not. You chose to come on this last Sunday of the year. But we still need to be light to fulfill what Jesus said, so that they will see your good works. I'm not talking about working your way to heaven. I'm talking about being so different because you have invited Christ to be Lord. You've got the Holy Spirit living within you. I'm talking about being so different that people see, Jim, what's that makes you tick because you don't talk like the rest of my coworkers? I'm talking about that kind of light. Jesus said, let your light so shine that they will see your good works, the way you respond to their dirty jokes, the way you respond to their lies or the stealing or the way they respond to whatever. How you respond is the light for Jesus. And Jesus said, let your light be so bright that they see your actions and they glorify your Father in heaven. That's what he said of the church. And so I'm asking us to commit to Jesus. And I'm asking us to commit to choose, as Joshua said, I have committed, I'm not perfect, you know that as well as I do. But I'm asking us to choose Jesus. And I'm asking us to choose to follow Jesus, even when the ways and the gods of this age are chipping away at you and they're tempting you and you're saying everybody else is doing it. I'm asking us to still choose Jesus. And I'm asking us as a church to let your light shine for Jesus wherever you're at, so that somebody will see your light and glorify your Father in heaven because of the light that lives in you. That's what I'm asking of us for 2024. As we close in prayer, friends, I just want to say that nor Jesus' words or Joshua's or John Winthrop's or anything against anti-people. But I am saying that we need Jesus. Wherever life's path has taken us and taken our society, I am still saying we need Jesus. There is hope and joy and love and restoration, justification, sanctification in Jesus. And so wherever life has taken us, wherever life has taken our society, there's still hope in Jesus. I'm not anti anybody, but I'm telling us, if we're ever going to be part of the kingdom of God and a part of heaven someday, we need Jesus. And believers, I pray that 2024 will be a year that we are light for Jesus. Jim Brennan, I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer. Will you, brother? Here, I'm going to give you the microphone. Let's pray together.
Now, Father God, we do quiet our hearts before you and give you thanks for the time that you've given us. You've used each one of us in a special and unique way. And listening to my brother preach today, Lord, I wonder sometime if we've reached a tipping point for our country. Maybe evangelism isn't enough. Maybe it's time for us to go into panic mode, to save as many souls as possible, to be brave in who we are and reach out and touch just as many as possible. For it's give us the heart and the wherewithal and the desire to do it. Place a desire for righteousness in each one of our hearts and souls, Lord Father, that we could live out this day and live out our lives here in this time, making a difference for your kingdom's work. Anoint each one here today. Anoint us and bless us and send us forth to do exactly what you would have us to do. To live out a life that is holy and does make a difference. And oh, Lord God, that the light that you place in each one of us would shine brighter than we can possibly imagine and change the world that we live in. And souls would be saved. Our families, our friends, our neighbors. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.